What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an FTN Golf Podcast. I am Axis, joined by Sky, and today we'll be going over the majors for 2021, and if time permitting, we will end the pod with a few questions we took from the subscriber Discord on FTNDaily.com. What's going on, Sky?
Yeah, I mean, appreciate you having me, Axis. It's fun to really look ahead. I mean, we're here with the Tournament of Champions, and what's today, Wednesday? So 8 days from now. So golf is right on the cusp. I mean, it was, looking back on the year, you know, just an eclectic type of season with some early on highs before the shutdown. And truthfully, you know, Outlaw, you know, really brought us to life during the break. And then the restart was pretty good to us too. So it's been a fun ride jumping from Fantasy Golf Bag over to bringing our whole crew to FTN, and really excited for what's ahead for us together in 2021.
Yeah, it was a strange year indeed. I did really well with the Outlaw, with Euro was a good year, ended very well with the two LPGA slates that DraftKings gave us. And I had a solid year in PGA, but I mean, a bulk of the profits this year were from the undercards, if you will, with the Euro, LPGA, and Outlaw. So hopefully in 2021, we get, I know we'll get Euro. I really hope they continue to offer LPGA. I guess there's a slim chance that they could start throwing Outlaw back on there too, if they can come together. But I would really love the LPGA myself. I find that really fun. I've been following that tour for a while, just betting on it. So it was nice to put some of that knowledge to use and actually see it pay off in only 2 weeks as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I love anything that matters the most to me from a type of DFS contest I'm interested in is one where information pays off, and where it's harder to find that information is more fun. I mean, we're talking before week 17 in the NFL. It's something where if you're grinding for the injury information or who's sitting and resting, like, that's probably the most beneficial week in the year. For NFL, when you look at it from a golf standpoint, what we do with the Euro stats, what we can do with the LPGA stats next year, and then how we dug for the Outlaw information. I mean, that was a blast of a project that really was beneficial and profitable.
Yeah, it goes to show that if you dig, you can still, especially in these smaller sports, you can add to your edge, because that's not, I know plenty of people out there win at PGA. It's just so much harder. I think the expected value is probably lower for a lot of people because, like, there's just so much good information out there. Like, there's tons of people who talk about it. There's a billion stats you can look at. Everybody has access to them, but not everybody is digging the same on these smaller tours. They don't have as nice of websites. It's much harder to pull in the data, and then you get to filter the data and clean it and make sure it's correct. Run into a lot of bad data out there for the smaller tours. Yeah, it's just another project where not only does the data help you, but like the news, like, you know, we were grinding on Twitter looking for who's not actually going to play. And those, what, I think in the last LPGA event, there was a 10% owned golfer who didn't play. Near the end of the Euro tour, there's quite a few who didn't end up teeing up at all that we were aware of. And our subs, we made our subs aware of that as well, obviously, in Discord, like, just simple stuff that would never fly really in the PGA. Like, there really isn't anybody pre-lock who would withdraw on the PGA unless it was like 2 minutes before lock that would trick that many people. So
yep, and that's really what it was. And I mean, it's been fun to see kind of the growth. Of course, I hope they could get Korn Ferry action too, you know, like, I would take something. It all.
Yeah,
I don't know. And that was actually towards the end of the year. This is intriguing to see what their plan is, but they added the KFT logs to DraftKings profiles.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, that could just be the partnership with the PGA, you know, or we could be reading into something that could offer. I mean, it would be difficult, I'd imagine, to have five simultaneous tours to be running. That contest would be filling on, or you're getting, you know, 1K to first for a 4-day slate.
Yeah.
You know, to those sports, and what does the time commitment take? But I mean, that's where I always would find the edge in going after. So I think that's what we might be have ahead of us. I don't really know. I'm just excited for what it is. I mean, of course, getting the PGA back, you know, and getting the big prize pools. I mean, we have 200K to first for the Tournament of Champions, which is like a 35 golfer field, you know.
It's like, more this year with
I guess, yeah, they extended a little bit.
But yeah, it's not big. It's less than 50.
So I mean, going into that. But yeah, I'm ready to grind and whatever it takes to get. If we get the LPGA back from the jump and we know it's going to happen, I can make more of a commitment to make a stat database that, you know, is going to be different right. than what most sites and other things do. You know?
Yeah, we did a lot of Discord stuff for LPGA, but we didn't do a lot on site because why put in the background interface effort and all that, like you said. So if we don't know.
I think one of the questions at the end, too, is going to kind of relate on our process and relate to contest selection and, you know, searching to single entry contests or smaller ones that, you know, you can match the field size. Like, ultimately, it's tough to look at something and think, you know, you're going to win the lottery and win $100,000 if you hit the nuts when you might only win a grand if you did it in LPGA. But that's where your likelihood of doing it, you know, goes to the roof and why you pick those contests. So if you can pick those type of contests in a sport where half people wouldn't be grinding as much as you, you know, that's where the edge actually exists.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, obviously you have dreams of taking down 50K plus, but at the end of the day, I think plenty of people would also be happy, you know, profiting a grand of 1500. I think that's another thing we, you know, it's part of the process and you know, just expectation of what's realistic. Talk about that a lot too. So, and I guess my only concern with Korn Ferry would be they are not on TV. So unless that changes, I feel like that would be like, at least the LPGA is on TV, Euro's on TV. Korn Ferry gets what, 2-3 events a year that they televise. So
yeah,
I feel like they'd have to change that.
If they're smart, you know, and they take advantage, and why I think Outlaw,
well, that's on the PGA,
right?
That's on the PGA getting them deals.
Correct. But if you look at why Outlaw could be, in my opinion, successful simultaneously with professional golf is you run it on days where there's not PGA contests. You know, of course, there's other action that's going to be on DraftKings. There always will be. But if you fire it up contests with 10K to first on a Monday and Tuesday, you know, those could probably fill.
I'd be curious with the Outlaw too, because I know it worked when there was nothing else and they were Periscope streaming. I would still be, again, I think people would play it. I don't know how many though, without being able to watch it when there's other watchable golf. So I'd be curious. Is that to say that it can't work? But
can you believe, looking back on it, the prize pools we got for that sticks out. I mean, there was, you know, 50K to first for the Scottsdale Open.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that. And then the one that always makes me laugh thinking about it, and I was so excited, was when we had 100K to first for E-Racing or the
iRacing.
For,
yeah.
Yeah. E-NASCAR.
Just
that one, you forget about that, but there was 100K to first for that.
Like I said, yeah. I mean, when there's nothing else on, almost anything will work. That was proven. So now it's just how to make it work more all the time. I mean, obviously DraftKings would do it if they think it'll work. It's just more raked for them. They don't care. Like,
yep,
they'll throw it out there if people will fill it up. So
yep. So let's start talking about next year. All right. What are we thinking from the top?
Let's just jump right into it. There's probably other preview shows that may talk a little different things, but we're just going to jump right into it. We will go in the order, you know. So first things first is the Masters at Augusta, and I'm curious, obviously we don't have DFS pricing at this moment. The recency bias, after having just, we have it every time with golf and all sports, but now, like, this is the most recent major we've had, and it was just in November. So I'm curious, when April rolls around, how people are going to view it. So you and I already jumped on Cam Smith futures, and it's not because I necessarily, you know, he played very well. And it's not because I suddenly think, oh, he played well once, he can do it again. It's just that he did turn a corner this year, even in my ratings. We saw him win at the Sony to start the year last year. We saw him play well in the President's Cup. You know, he's a very young golfer. He's finding his stride. So did we get him at 125 for the Masters?
Yeah, I'm pulling him up right now. Because
he's 50 to try right
to
now.
See. Yeah, I see some 50s on him.
I just brought that up for reference. We're looking at 365 numbers. So It was mainly because we both knew that number was not going to last. And again, it's not that it's another thing that sometimes novice bettors don't quite understand. I don't know. Maybe they do and they don't care. But like, I'm not necessarily betting on a guy who I truly think is going to win that week. I'm betting him because of the number. And I know Cam Smith is better than 125-1. And he's shown it a few times at this particular course.
So actually, we don't have him at Augusta.
Oh, that's right. Maybe I do at a different number.
I have him at the U.S. Open, the USPGA, so the PGA Championship, and then the Open, all at 150 across the board.
I took those as well. I feel like I got a really good number on him at Augusta. Maybe not. Maybe they hadn't posted those. I could be misremembering. The offseason's been very long.
So if I look, I mean, the two that were posted that some of the books stateside had was, let's see, there was a 200, I believe, for Cam somewhere too.
You're right. I'm a dunce. We got him at, I did bet a Masters already though.
What do you got him at the Masters?
I bet. I did not get him. Cam. Nope. I screwed up. You can ignore. I'm a dum-dum. I bet Victor Perez at the Masters each way since beautiful Michigan now. So Victor Perez, 250-1 each way.
Love to hear it.
And again, it really was the each way with those odds that made me do it. He has now seen the course once, and he will have seen it relatively recently, where most debutants have to wait another 12 months. I believe he's qualified for this next one already, so. Because he's sitting in the world. Yeah, he had a very good season. Yep. So yeah, I jumped on that. I don't know if that will really fall. Like, I think you can probably still search around. Like, he's 250-1 on 365 still. So I think that one is a live one to me. I don't know. I made him less than 250, and again, on top of being able to get that, and that was at Bet Rivers. The 250 I grabbed, so that's also out there if you're on that book. But yeah, that's really the first thing. That's the only Masters future I have at the moment.
For me, yeah. I mean, I would have loved the Cam 150 here, of course. I mean, he was the talk of what happened at Augusta. But we recorded the week after. Do you remember when we initially did the a little early 2021 preview was the fact, you know, this was with Bear Off after yep. Bear Off had hit for, what, 200K, I think it was?
When yeah, he got won. Lucky. Yeah.
So, you know, there was definitely recency bias baked in. I know somebody that I talked a lot about that I was intrigued at a number that unfortunately sits quite lower than what I'd want it to was Cam Champ's course fit. You know, yeah. Cam Champ sitting at 66. I'm curious to know, well, what number do you think you would pull at Cam Champ at Augusta?
Ooh. Well, I don't know, because I'm a weird outright bettor. Like, I think that's the thing. I think I could bet him if I truly thought he was going to win. I don't know if it would be at a number that I would feel comfortable betting as far as bet. Like, I feel like it'd be a negative EV bet. I would just hope it would pan out. 66 is probably pushing it for me. I would want him closer to 100. I don't think I'll ever get that, but
yeah, that's, I think 100, if it had opened at 100, that I would have been in on that too.
I mean, I look at it this way, and I still think that would be, per my numbers, probably negative EV. However, I think I could chew it, and outrights are a little different because I don't think there's too many huge edges in outrights to begin with. So I think even when I'm betting what I think is positive expected value, it's still very minuscule. So you can get a little wonky and a little more free-flowing with outrights if you just want to bet them for fun and truly think they're going to win. But like, I hardly have Cam Champ at 100 in the Century Tournament of Champions. So, I mean, and that's assuming a few of the better guys play, that number could drop. But yeah, I don't mind Cam Champ. I was impressed with him. I mean, we saw the upside. I mean, that guy was racking up scores. He just couldn't stop making big numbers to match him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I mean, what, he had two triples, right, that week?
Yeah, I think did he break? Yeah, he had two triples and like a double on his final round and broke even. Like he had like 7 under and an eagle or something.
Yeah, he had a wild.
7 birdies and an eagle, or 6 and an eagle, and then yeah, I mean, I don't know. He definitely showed he can tear that course apart. He needs to not make the big mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the one. Is there anybody else? I think there were some Harris English numbers posted that you didn't hate, I thought.
I mean, the other ones I didn't hate were Answer at 80-1. And I liked him a lot this past Masters, and the Sunday did not go well for him at all, obviously. But again, another guy who has now seen the course. We talk about course history at courses that are unique. I think it means even more. Like, and we'll talk about that when Century Tournament of Champions comes up, of how unique that course is at Kapalua. But, you know, he's seen it again. I mean, I haven't pulled the trigger, but I think 80-1 is probably actually a value in my numbers. I'm very high in Abe Answer. I love his game. He gets it done across many different ways, as we always talk about. So I think I could definitely be talked into Answer at 80-1. I don't know. English isn't terrible at 66. I mean, he played very well last year. So that's the question on what everybody else thinks. Is how much is that going to regress to what he was, or did he truly find something? I think he found something. I mean, he played all year very well.
No, agreed. And I mean, you look overall at the numbers and see kind of who, I mean, you get a Sungjae down to 45, you know, after his performance. There is recency bias, you know, that's going to be baked into what it is. I mean, DJ going off as the clear favorite, you know, above everyone else. I mean, Hatton has never found anything here. You know, you see him at 33.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I thought with the year he was having, I mean, yeah, maybe this just is not a course that suits.
The one that I'm really hoping can,
Tommy's,
you know,
45. I mean, he's never flirted with winning here, but he has played well in his three trips. I don't know. Or his last three trips, but his irons disappeared.
Let's see. How about fringe top 50 players in the world that we want to really get here? I think we know the first one.
I mean, Bob's,
that we really.
Yeah,
he's already listed in the market. You know, he's 55th
he's
right
sitting
now
at 100.
In the world.
And I remember, I forget the site, so I'm not going to name it because I can't remember exactly. But he didn't make it last year, but he was in a lot of markets because he was flirting with it, and like, I don't know, they had him priced pretty high, so 170 maybe. So like this 100-1 is already priced in his rise.
Yeah,
he's a lefty,
you see,
you know, just saying.
I mean, there's a, probably a pretty decent chance too that Zalatoris can get in the top 50 of the world as well before Augusta. He's 59th right now.
Yeah. I mean, it won't take but a few events to get onto his resume that are PGA Tour points, and as we move closer, he'll start dropping off his weaker events from the Korn Ferry. From almost, I don't know how the exact weighting system goes, but like as we move closer, he'll lose those weaker events and be replacing them with even more points.
Yep.
So I don't see him in this market at the moment.
I don't either. He is priced into some U.S. Open and other ones as we keep going on, and I mean there are already, you know, lower numbers than what you probably want, but I'm very curious on what his schedule is going to be this year. You know, he has now the ability to get unlimited sponsor exemptions, which you'd hope that he
I assume he's going to play as much as possible.
Correct. Yeah, and then you can get high enough to get into a reshuffle category and get into the players and get into he's close to getting WGCs, you know. So
where is he? 59th.
Yeah,
I think that does get him into a few.
Yeah, it would depend on, you know, I mean,
who shows up. I would assume that gets him into one or two. Like, if he wants, I mean, it's near the end of the year, the HSBC, but
I don't know if they're playing that one.
Yeah, I mean, stateside again. They played it. Yeah, that's true.
So that's he's of course somebody we've been, you know, touting for quite some time to really pick up from that, but he's someone I'm curious to get into the top 50 that I would love. I mean, Ball Strikers Paradise again, of course, you know, he has to figure out his putter. He has to make the short game leap that Victor Hovland made from year one to year two to really get to what he did. You know, that's the biggest worry I have with him.
So before we move on from the Masters, do you have any idea who you would pick to win it where you're at today?
Oh, boy.
Right?
That's a tough question.
Put you on the spot.
Where I would bet, who I would bet, or who's just straight up I would pick to win it.
We'll say, like
if I didn't care.
We'll say it doesn't matter what. Yeah, I mean, your favorite to win at, you know, at the top, not necessarily. We know that the number is probably not good, but like, would you rather bet DJ at 13-2, or 6.5, or would you rather like, or do you think it'd be better to take Rahm at 10-1, or I don't know, just give your winner then, I guess. We won't do the odds because odds does mean a lot when you're betting, obviously.
Gosh, that's tough,
isn't it? I hate picking. This is why I don't do one and dones, but
yeah, because I mean it's.
This year though. We'll bring that Mayo Cup home to FTN.
Absolutely.
But
gosh, I would probably say it's hard not to just straight up pick DJ. That's so boring. But like, it was almost so easy for him, you know, and not almost, it was so easy for him last year.
Yeah.
And it felt like such a hurdle to get over when you saw emotion out of him for the first time, that to maybe even, not that he puts pressure on himself, but he has collapsed in situations many of times that you wouldn't really think. So like, I mean, he, of course, I think that monkey off his shoulder that we weren't really even putting on him, that maybe, you know, was kind of self-inflicted, you know, the stairs situation. I mean, that was, you know, I think a huge overcoming, you know, for him to do that. So he's rightfully priced where he is. Are we ever going to get in the situation that he is going to get to the numbers that you bet him at, the 18-1 that you ended up cashing? You know,
no,
probably not. You know,
it'd have to be a scary fall, and then I wouldn't want to bet him at 18-1, right? I mean,
yeah,
I bet him at 18-1. Yeah, I caught him on the uptick just a little bit as it started to come back, and just caught a book sleeping.
Well, he was hurt. That was something that I think people forget, that he missed a good amount of time.
I think I mentioned, like, I didn't even bet that super far in advance. Like, he had won the Travelers. Like, I'd bet it after that. Like, it wasn't. I caught him. I don't know. That's kind of why we do some of these shows. You catch people sleeping, right?
Yeah. And I guess the one thing that I thought was most intriguing looking back, I guess twofold. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be Rahm or Bryson probably for me. I think the hype of what Bryson got to there was rightfully deserved for unknowing what it was going to be, but it was more of a public perception that brought that number to get to where it was.
Oh, that was stupid.
And yeah. But I mean, I was happy for the people that had the awesome futures. You know, I thought those were great.
Oh, those numbers they had weren't necessarily bad, but I was just laughing at going off where he went off. Like,
correct.
I get it. He won the US Open, but I don't know.
So like the most impressive thing that I thought of, I guess maybe the most under the radar portion was Brooks excelled again.
Yep.
Off of, you know, 2 weeks back, you know, so that's the biggest question mark to what we have with him, in my opinion. I mean, the course fit for him at the Masters should be exceptional. And I mean, he finished seventh last year, I think, without even sniffing, you know, anywhere what really felt like he was in it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he was three back once on Saturday. Maybe two at most, or at least. So, I think that's sneaky. JT played as best he has at Augusta.
I mean, that's my pick. I'm going to pick JT again. I picked him this year, and I will pick him again. I mean,
yeah,
he's improved every time he's seen the course. I mean,
and
that's a pattern to say, but it just goes to show, not only is he improving as a golfer, his game already fits that course, in my opinion. And he's obviously learning things. And he even said it as much. He's like, I play practice rounds with all these other guys, and I just ask them as many questions as I can, And he's like, some answer, some don't. He's like, but I'm watching. I watch where Fred Couples and Tiger Woods played like practice scramble shots, and then he'd go do it. Like, he's like, I was their shadow. And like, this is one of those courses where all those notes add up. I mean,
Yep. So I think that's, you know, the progression has been good and trending toward an easy, you know, pick for him to win. Absolutely. And that Brooks progression, I mean, what, I think he was 31st, 21st, 11th.
Yeah. Now second. Seventh.
And then, yeah. So, I mean, and that second was another one where he had no form coming in.
Right.
None. You know, he hadn't played in forever. He was skinny. I guess he came off Honda where he was.
They lost to that putt, right? Him and Ricky? Was that that year or the year before?
To Mitchell. Yep. No, that was that year, I'm pretty sure. And then he got skinny and took time off and wasn't playing well. And then he didn't make it out of group play at the match play. And he was like 3%, 4% owned. And he finished, you know, second. Arguably should have won that Masters, you know, was so good tee to green. So I think JT or Brooks would be my 1-2 right now of bettable guys up there, in my opinion.
Winners, I'd go JT. As far as numbers up there, I think I'm with you. Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. JT 10-1, and I don't know. I can go back to Reed at 25-1, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'd rather have JT to win. So.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I think JT would be probably the one right now up there that would be like, okay, if you're hitching your wagon, you might get 2 points more if you wait till April. But if you're making that decision now, I'd be okay with that.
Right. All right. So next on the rotation would be the PGA Championship. And this year that will be at Kiawah Island. I do believe that's South Carolina. Probably should have checked that, but I'm pretty sure it's South Carolina or Georgia.
Yeah. No, it's the Carolinas.
All right. So it's South Carolina. We'll go with South Carolina. This is where Rory destroyed the field back in 2012. And when you look at the card, that year it was listed at 7,600 yards. I found one now, in fact, that has it listed at 7,800 yards. I don't know exactly where it's going to be played. It's going to be long. And there are a ton of long par fours there. I did read that it's due to the routing of it. There's not a ton of crosswind, so a lot of times you're either playing directly into or directly with the wind. So I guess on some of these longer holes, they might play shorter. I didn't look and path out which is going with the normal trade winds in that area, but I did read on a few different like course reviews that typically you're with or against. There's not a lot of crosswind, so some of these holes will get longer, some will get shorter, but it is a massive, massive course to say the least.
And we reflected on the US Open last year afterwards and why we often find it to be one of our more successful weeks every year. And I think Kiawah is going to play like a US Open-ish style this year. I mean, where going into it, it almost feels that there's a certain player type that's going to be successful, you know?
Yeah.
It's Bethpage like, you know, when it was at Bethpage, we knew that Brooks and DJ were two of the guys probably out of the 10, you would say, that could actually win that week, you know?
Yep.
And 10 might've been generous. That I think Kiawah can play that way, which excites me. Like that's, I love if you feel confident in a attack of a week and you can nail it on that attack of the week, you know, and you can cover your bases in a sense of who you really think can contend and win. If it plays out in that strategy, this seems almost like early on that could be that style, which I love, you know, I think we can take advantage of it when others don't.
And if people go look at the leaderboard, they may be like, oh, those guys are stupid. Like, it's golf. Things happen on a week-to-week basis. That doesn't mean shorter hitters aren't going to find their way through what should be adverse situation to them. But, like, you know, Rory won this by 8. He beat David Lin, Keegan Bradley, Carl Pedersen, Ian Poulter, Justin Rose. You know, Jamie Donaldson was up there, Steve Stricker. So, like, again, it's not like you have to pound the ball, you know, but when you look at how this is going to line up, it's going to be a huge advantage if you can, and you just don't need everything else to be as sharp.
Yep.
So, yep. So like you said, we have the future here from the Cam Smith number. Again, that was just simply thinking he was going to go off shorter than that. You can still find him at 100 at some places. You know, those might have been reactionary bets that we normally don't make, but I still think we'll beat the number. It's not unheard of to say that he could, you know, this is a type of course, windy, linksy, like, I don't know. He could show up and play well here. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, no. He's just a gamer. You know, he's just kind of the grinder gamer type. And when it gets difficult to play, the short game, you know, comes in. I mean, you think about Brooks at Bethpage. You think about Bryson at Wingfoot. You know, you think about those two courses. And if we're going to say it's going to play like that, more than it is like Aaron Hills, like there's a big difference, you know. And I don't know enough about Kiawan. I don't think there's going to be an answer right now on how that rough's going to play.
Well, so what I read is there isn't really rough, because it's coastal track. They know that there's a lot of wind. There is wide landing areas, but it gets to native, and that's where you get in trouble.
So it's past pollen grass.
So I was also reading that it may not get as firm as like some of the Bermudas in that same region. But yeah, I'm still siding very greatly with length.
Cause if you remember, so that could be Aaron Hills more than the others, if it is,
but this is 78. It's listed as 7,800 yards right now. Like, I don't care which way you hack it. Like, that is long.
Because this is what's intriguing, though. If you go back and you look at the leaderboard at Aaron Hills. Now, Brian Harman was in the final group.
Yep.
Okay, which is fine. Bill Haas finished inside the top 10.
Yep.
Snedeker did. Hoffman did. But the most intriguing person to me.
Morgan Hoffman or Charlie Hoffman?
Charlie did.
I know.
But the most intriguing person that actually finished top 10, that if you asked anybody in the world, could you name the guys that finished top 10? Trey Mullinax finished top 10, and Xander did. Both Xander and Trey Mullinax. Yeah. Now, Trey Mullinax was
Tommy faded,
very,
right?
Very
he
long.
Didn't end up finishing T10?
He finished fourth. Tommy finished fourth.
Yeah.
But some of the guys, so like Mullinax had nothing to his name. This was early Xander, but off the tee specialist, even at Aaron Hills, when it's that long and it's wide open, everyone's, you know, just pulling driver every hole.
Yep.
That even so, guys that are just length. I mean, Cam Champ, I believe he was an amateur at this time, and he had open qualified through, finished 32nd. You just saw guys that, you know, weren't anything other than long in their games, you know, pop up there. So it just 7,800 yards brings a different caliber in, where it's just an off the tee specialist.
I mean, Cam's 80-1 where I'm looking now, like
Champ.
If you truly believe, I mean, I feel like that would be a number that I'd be closer to pulling the trigger with at a course like this.
Yeah.
Again, mm-hmm. I don't know much else about it. I will read up. We'll get more people doing stories on it as well as we get closer. Like, I don't know how much of his poor short game will kill him here. That's kind of what crushed him at Augusta and some of those triples, like just not getting out of bunkers and such. There's a lot of sand here, so something to note. But again, you're taking a shot at 80-1 on his skill set.
So do you think previous year's PGA Championship results factor into the next year's?
In the market? I don't know. I mean, people who are moving the money, probably not.
Well, because
Joe
this
Schmo,
is interesting.
I don't know. Joe Schmo not even know that they, guy who's betting this might not even know that they rotate courses every year. Like, if he just bets majors, I don't know.
Well, because Champ, you'd arguably think him being a California guy, Poa, like Torrey is probably just as good of a course fit too. in some sense of the manner.
I think that, so.
Okay, he's 100-1 at Torrey.
Yeah, I'd pull the trigger on it.
Here.
I don't know if it, I mean the probability but difference between 81 and 100 is minuscule. Like correct, that's really it's really hardly a different number.
Agreed. Agreed 100%. But you also got to think he was in the final two groups at Harding Park last year.
Maybe
that does give that little tick.
The PGA does play similar courses. Like, and I always get on my soapbox anyway, and I was, you know, distance at Harding Park I thought would be important. And that's not the only reason he played well, but yeah, I think the courses do kind of like you said, like a Bethpage. I'd look like the rough won't be anything like that here, which is the difference. But if it's not going to roll out a ton, then the distance will be even more of an advantage again. Like the closer that they're getting to the hole, the better, obviously. So even short guys, I don't know. I shout about this all the time. I'm going to get all hot and bothered again about fucking distance and accuracy. So.
Oof. Now the fun thing about the PGA Championship and the US Open is we'll get more international players into it. You know, correct. Arguably at the PGA Championship, you'll probably get close to the top 100 guys in the world will all be there, which is fun.
Yeah.
You know, US Open it was more this year, they got more of it, but hopefully we can get back to sectionals and get, you know, open qualifiers back into play.
Correct.
For the US Open. I think that's, you know, one of the coolest things in golf is having those. But, you know, hopefully we can get European guys that can come over or Corn Ferry guys that can make their way into some of these big moments. Cause if you think about what we did at Winged Foot, you know, again, this is crossing over US Open, but if you target a distance, the longest player on the Corn Ferry Tour is Taylor Pendrith, who finished 21st at Winged Foot last year.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Peters was, you know.
So, yeah. I was going to bring up Peters. GPP. Like, he's sitting at 84th right now, so he's fringe. Like, I need him, because I would love to be able to pull the trigger on him at 150, knowing that he was going to get into this field.
Yeah, you can't imagine he would lower.
His iron play is outstanding.
Oh, absolutely.
And obviously, off the tee is just fine, too. I think he could play very well here. You know, I was just happened to be looking at these bigger numbers at the moment, and you started talking about Euros, and I thought, yeah, Thomas Peters, if we can get him into this field.
Yeah, you could get him, and you could get, the fun thing is you could get, like, Higo into this field, like Higo's ball striking.
I don't think I'd bet fun. Higo, I don't care what number it is.
No, I don't think so either, but I mean, again, if I'm thinking the 1-2 percenters in DFS, which we're not here to say right now, but like a Higo, I would love to get Wilco, and I want to see Wilco and Bryson's off the tee numbers against each other.
With the field, so the strokes gained are,
yeah.
And you don't have the European Tour tweeting about 430 yard drives and not mentioning that they're at elevation and all that fun stuff.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
So, but yeah.
Because he's a Peters twin. Have him and Bryson, literally, yeah. Put him in the same group, please.
Mm hmm. I'm trying to see anybody just outside the top 100. I mean, Peters would be the best course fit when you get to these type of styles of courses stateside. You know, you get to Augusta, you get to Kiowa, you get to Torrey. Peters is the one who's top of my list for all of them.
Right. Oh, side note, though. If Bryson goes back to the Middle East, you could get them in the same field.
Hmm.
I don't know if he's getting an appearance fee this year, but you never know.
Hope
he didn't
so.
Seem overly impressed last year with getting put on the clock and everything else, but
no, I'm trying to look back here if I see the PGA Championship. I mean, yeah, I think that was the first. I mean, of the kids, so I guess I call them all kids now. But when I mention the kids, it's Wolf, Hovland, and Morikawa are the three that come to mind for me that I think about. Do you think any of them? You know, you'll be betting on them this coming year in any majors. I know you cashed the Morikawa ticket last year. What's your overall? Because this would be a good spot for Wolf and Hovland.
Yeah, It's hard now because, like, those are the type of golfers that catch that Ricky steam of being popular, and it's just hard to ever get a good number for me. Again, something they can't win. Like, if you were telling me to pick people who I literally think can win and their number is irrelevant, sure, I could back a Hovland or a Wolf, or a Scheffler. But they're all 40 to 1 at the PGA right now. Like, that doesn't really do it for me where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I mean, Wolf.
I think I prefer Wolf right now to barely over Scheffler. And I love Hovland's game. I don't know. You've seen the other two, like, really hunt in the upside, and what Scheffler did at last year's. I could be way wrong on that, but that's just how I see it right now.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. I mean, Wolf came out, you know, and contended in his first two majors.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like, oh crap! But, like, do we have another Brooks here? This kid's just going to shine when the spotlight's on, and you're not going to necessarily be able to explain it.
Yeah, and that, I mean, those off the tee numbers. I mean, you'd like to think the resurgence of what Bubba did. Ball striking game down the stretch would be something of intrigue at 100 to 1. You know, you often don't bet Bubba
anywhere that Bubba he doesn't draft, play well.
Or, you know, so yeah. and
I probably won't.
History.
I won't. I
yeah.
won't do it.
And that,
like,
yeah,
honestly,
I mean,
I'm still not convinced that Augusta is a Bubba track. Like, and I know how wild that sounds. He's had very outlier wins and terrible placings at that course. Like, it could just be when he's in form and he won there because it suits him a little more being a lefty and whatnot. Like, I don't know. He's a weird golfer. I rarely bet. And when I do, yeah, it's at courses where he has played well before. But this will not be one of those.
I flip the script here. I mean, I really, really want, if I could pick a player that I want to win a major in next year, I want to see Tony win one.
Yeah, like, for me, it's Ricky, obviously, but.
Of course. But
I wouldn't,
like,
mind
Tony's
Finau.
Probably the one I'd ruin. No. And, like, these numbers for Tony, just, can you bet, you know what I mean? Can you bet him? Like, I don't know. At what point does the stigma, like.
Oh, that stigma doesn't bother me. If I get a number, I get a number.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what is the number you bet Tony?
I mean, probably I could pull the trigger at that 35.
Yeah.
Yep. I think so. I think that's the threshold for me right now would be 30, 35 would be the lowest I'd bet him right now. Again, that could change. I mean, I'm doing that based on how my ratings have him now, and there's a lot of golf to be played, obviously, between now and then. But as far as a future goes, I think the 35 is a pretty appropriate number that I could grab if I wanted to. Like, if you really think Finau's going to win, you could grab it because I don't necessarily think it's going to get a ton worse. I mean, he'd have to play, and then at that point, I don't know if I'd want to bet him. But
yeah.
And then you just cross your fingers.
That's the thing. I mean, he's the one that you'd really want to. I mean, I'm making a promise to myself. I don't know why he's 30 to 1, but stateside Tommy Fleetwood has to prove something to me before I can even sniff a number probably below 66.
I think that's egregious.
Why is he 30 to 1?
I mean, that is name. I mean, I don't think that's a good number, but.
Would you bet
in this field? Would I bet him at 50? Maybe.
And I love Tommy, but Fitzpatrick probably had a better year than Tommy.
Yes, he did. And he's 50. Fleetwood didn't have a good year. Again, I'm trying to speculate. No, I mean, I'd probably make him right now in this. See, it's hard. I don't really have this field. I bet you I'd make him around 70.
Okay. 65, so 70. 66 to 1.
I mean,
30
is egregious itself. Yes, the number. I think he can play well enough to win, but that's a bad number. You're correct.
Okay, so also
that's where Ricky used to be. Like, Ricky would be playing this bad and he'd be 30 to 1, whereas people are finally forgetting about Ricky, but even he's 40 to 1.
why is Gary Woodland 66 to 1 here and he is, I swear, at the Masters. Let me see where they had him.
I mean,
I swear he was triple digits at the Masters.
The real reason is Woodland is 125 at the Masters. I don't know.
Why is he 125 there?
I mean, with these futures, you never know what money they're taking on these guys, and it's a one-way market, so there's never anybody betting against it. So all they will do is lower it. So for all I know, someone dropped a stack on him at the PGA, and it's so far in advance, they said, all right, we got to drop this number down, and we're just going to leave it here because we've taken enough money on Woodland. Like, I don't know.
Because you think the lowest he would be at being a U.S. Open champion would be there, you know, and he's still 100-1 there. So that's intriguing that. A hammer was dropped on Gary at Kiowa.
I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, if you're asking my speculation of why he's so different, it's hard to say in these future markets. Like, you can do this to a lot of guys. I mean, look at, like, even the Cam Smith numbers we have, some are close to available, but he's 50-1 at Augusta. Like,
yep.
I don't really know sometimes why these guys are so drastically different at the majors. I think they get priced and then they get left there and then they don't get moved until someone makes a move on them or someone around. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's been here for so long. No one's betting 2021 PGA futures and they just put him at 66 now and they didn't update the other futures. I have no idea. But
yeah, I'm trying to see if we can.
Speaking of the US Open, though, and Gary Woodland, Torrey Pines this year.
Man, I'm excited.
It's rare that we get, you know, the Masters is the only major every year it's played there, but we get a Torrey event every year. So, you know, it's kind of like when the US Open went to Pebble, like you actually have data, strokes gain data that you can go back and look at. Yeah, it's kind of nice actually for a major. Like when we get to the British Open, we'll talk about the last time it was played was 2011, like that, and Kiowa 2012. So now we have Torrey Pines where we see guys every year on this course. We've seen Tiger tear this course apart his entire career back when he was much better. So, yeah, I don't really have too many thoughts here. I think people will overdo some of the course history, and we know that the USGA sets things up differently. And we've seen even this year how different they could make Memorial 1 week to the next. So, like, there is quite a bit you can do with these courses to make them play differently.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to Leishman's win last year there, too, in the way he got it done, which people didn't anticipate you could win at Torrey that way, where he couldn't hit a fairway.
It's because they don't look at the stats. That's our edge. Like, I mean, people say the same thing about U.S. Opens every damn year.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a fairway. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, obviously, it matters a little. It's not, they matter a little more than running backs, but
that was good. That was a good slide there.
Thanks. but like, it at the end of the day, distance at Torrey is more important. And when they bring the rough up even more, it'll be more important. I mean, I've ad nauseum with this, and I put enough out there, and I'll do it again, and I'll show you the math behind why I say this and why it's true. But you don't need to hit fairways at Torrey to win, despite what everyone will tell you.
And that is the concept overall of what people don't really think about, you know, of the tighter fairways, longer rough, what it does to the field, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't even think I fully wrapped my head around it until, you know, Bryson demolished like he did. And it just plays into favor even more. Of the long hitters, because no one can hit the fairways. So you might as well be closer than you are. And then they have the more power to hack it out of the rough and get greenside or on the green in two.
I mean, I literally do the math on it every year. I show people what you gain by hitting a fairway as compared to what you gain by being 30 yards further in the rough, yada, yada, yada. And how hitting one or two more fairways does not make up for hitting it 30 yards shorter on every other one. Even if they're all in the rough, like
play the distance. Just, I mean, bombs away. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's That's what the and it's funny because people like Webb Simpson talks about it. He's like, oh, well, bring the fairways in, like the golf course architecture and distance and yada yada. And Webb's talking about bringing fairways, making fairways more narrow and rough up. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Like you have obviously never looked into what you are saying. There are ways to do it, but that's not it. You're literally making, like, look at Bethpage. Once again, it's extremely narrow fairways, super rough, and DJ and Brooks were the only two really realistically winning that at the end of the week. And then if you add things in that make it even more adverse for shorter hitters, like rough getting wet. Oh my God. Like, yeah. Ugh. Play distance. Again, it's a US Open. Anytime it's going to be thick, rough, hard to hit fairways, play distance. Like just do it. You'll win more money.
Yeah. I mean, what Brooks, what 17, 18, and then Woodland in 19, and then Bryson in 20, you know, and I mean, Pebble might've been a little bit different because Pebble's, you know, 7,100 yards, if that. What's Torrey's official? Do they have a yardage book on it yet for the US Open or no?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. I mean, Torrey's longer than what Pebble Beach is, you know, Torrey's a long track. So, I mean, not even that Woodland's not a really good driver of the golf ball, because he is, but it's just,
I mean, yeah, that's one of the Pebble one is one of the few US Opens where just because of that course, it can choke distance, but more often than not. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, to me, if I start looking at the top, you know, I'm not going to place a future on any of those guys. Like, I think the Wolf 50 is bettable here. Like, I think it's better than what it was 40 at the other, right?
Yep.
So I think Wolf 50, if you found a Wolf 66 here, I think I would be willing to pull. I mean, again, I don't want to get into too much of, you know, Cali guys and comfortability on POA and this and that, but.
And form matters a lot. And this is 7 months away or whatever it is now. I can't count the months, but you know.
But like Wolf would be one that I think this, if I'm planning him as a major next year, this would be the one I would pick. Him and Champ, I would be the most interested here.
How did it's a serious question because I don't remember. What did Wolf do at Sherwood? Isn't that like the course he lived on?
Isn't that the one the week before he finished like dead last. Like he fell off the map for like that 3 week stretch.
Yes.
I don't think he played well there.
Okay, so again, my point is narratives are stupid, but I don't know. You're always going to have some California guys who play well in California, and people will continue to talk about California guys on POA, ignoring all the California guys who suck on it. Like, the same thing happens with Bermuda. You go to Bermuda, Florida. There's a billion golfers from Florida, and half of them suck. Like, on the PGA, like,
yeah.
That, I don't know. I have other stuff on that, too. That's a whole nother podcast we can do on green type. But long story short, good putters putt well on almost all surfaces. Bad putters putt bad on almost all surfaces.
Moral of the story. No, I think it's fair. I mean, regardless of California, and I think his off the tee game fits best here, and it's a better number than what we saw at Kiowa, just yes. Like Champ. I think him at 50... and Champ at 100. I would prefer if you could find a Wolf 66. I'm not in love with a 50, but like a Wolf 66 and a Champ 100, those are two that would pop off to me, you know, getting to see them at this range that I, you know, it could be in big for, you know, a 2021 year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, these are the ones where you want to watch, like, because Wolf's not the most consistent guy. His number could slide at majors. Like, if he doesn't play well to start the year, and he's shown that he can just kind of pop in and out. And I feel like he's a number at 50 that could slide as we get closer, depending on how he's playing. But I wouldn't necessarily be afraid if you truly think he's going to win to pull the trigger there.
Yeah. Or contend. I'm gonna see, and again, you could go through.
Like Finau 35 here. This is another place where, I mean, I feel like I could pull the trigger on Finau around 35 to 40.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the majors set up pretty similarly most years because of the courses. Like, you want the distance, and it's stupid to try to break down, boil majors down to just that. But, I mean, we're looking for the smallest advantages we can get. So, a lot of majors play the same now for the most part.
Oh, for sure. For sure, which I mean, they're guys that we like to pick normally too. So I think that's at least that we, you know, from ball striking standpoint, that tend to pop. So it's funny because, you know, somebody I respect and does another major early on preview is Ben Coley.
Mm-hmm.
And two of his tips at the US Open right now are Wolf and Champ. And I didn't know that until I just cross-referenced now. But I think those are two that stand out to me. He's only had a Wolf 45. So seeing this Wolf 50, I might see what else is out there. But there was a Champ 150 apparently overseas, which I would pull on today if I saw that.
Well, I'm going to do it live, which makes for a great podcast, but we do have a sweet prop shop at ftnbets.com where you can go type in Matthew Wolf and you will actually be able to find all his numbers right now. If they're posted at certain books, you can pick your state depending on what state you're in. Check all those books. So you can go do that for the US Open. So far, I don't see anything that's posted for the US Open. I see a lot of Masters, the Open, and PGA. Apparently, none of the stateside books have posted US Open odds, which is kind of strange. But
so if you went in, I'm seeing, that's the Open Championship. Let's see the US Open. I'm just pulling another one in for reference. Yeah, I see a 45 at the Barstool Sportsbook.
I think you could get a better number on him. He's an inconsistent golfer. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing where when it finally clicks for him and he becomes even slightly more consistent, he is going to skyrocket. I mean, like you said, he played terribly at some of these closing no cut events, like DFL by a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that happens a few times leading into these, the number will drop. I'm not going to say it's going to plummet to 100, but I imagine it would have to go down. So.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't really have too many thoughts on Torrey at the moment outside of the just you'll hear me preach it again. I'll bring all my math back up about why you should focus on distance when they make the conditions like they will. So.
Yep.
So yep. That brings us to the last one of the year, the only major championship we didn't get to see in 2020, which is very disappointing. I love the Open. I mean, I go back and forth on like what I'd rather watch, the Open or the Masters. And normally it's just the time of year that makes me like, these are my two favorites and most people's, but like just the golf in the morning, the links that the PGA just doesn't really get to all that often. It's just nice to see guys on that course, you know, all bundled up sometimes. Like it's just different, and I love everything about it. We get the bigger mix of our Euro guys into these fields. This year it'll be at Royal St. George's, par 70. I believe it played at about 7,200 yards the last time they played it here. Darren Clark won. He beat DJ and Phil three, I believe. Yeah, he was 5 under. Anthony Kim made a top five showing as well.
Love it.
I actually caught some of this on TV like a couple months ago. I was just happened to be on a replay on or something. But yeah, Darren Clark. So I didn't go back and look too much. I don't really know much about Royal St. George's. I know they have like this famous massive bunker on one of the holes. If I was better at this, I probably would have made a note of what hole, but I did not. I think I mentioned it on the last pod. We kind of went over it. But yeah, Lynx Golf. It'll be nice to see this played again.
Oh, 100%, 100%. The problem is with the Open Championship, I do my best, although I'm saying that coming with two bets on the Open Championship, but loading up early here is probably
risky.
Tough to do
if because you're going,
conditions come into play.
I guess I'm going to say if you're going to make bets here, maybe take a few long shots long shots, wind weight, like they're long shots to begin with, but like if you have a true couple guys you want to win, it may pay off to wait and see if like you said, there's a wind wave.
Yep.
I mean, you go back and look at the Stenson Phil year, and it's just you don't want to be on the wrong side of that with all your futures.
absolutely.
Here Tommy's 28-1. Like, I think that's a bad number. That's again, it's not that he doesn't play well. He in fact this price suits him extremely well. It's just And this is a long ways away, so hopefully he really didn't have his irons last year. Like, I don't know what happened. Maybe it's because he couldn't find those irons he used to use anymore, buying them off eBay. I don't know. Something went wrong. Like, otherworldly wrong for him.
Ever since he put it in the water at, when we were there, was that at the Honda?
Honda. Mm.
Yep. Ever since that day.
Got to see my boy play live once, has been... crap since, so that's outstanding.
But I mean, yeah, this is the one you get bigger numbers on guys here. I think of, like, just in general, like, what you can get Tony at a 40.
This is Bezuidenhout's lowest major number.
yeah, I think you'll probably for European guys, this is maybe the only one they're priced into right, like, now.
Yeah, because Bob's Wilco's 100, but he was 175, like, at US. But again, he's not even qualified for some of those. So
yeah, I mean,
they're carrying over their their exemptions from last year into this, so there won't be as many guys to be able to sneak into this either. I'm pretty sure the field already is set at like 101 golfers, if I recall.
Will they? I gotta imagine they're still offering the same exemptions.
I mean, there will be some
any lead up.
Yeah. No, there will be some, but at the same time, like, you can only have a field of 150 or whatever it is. Like, they can't expand that, and they already have a bunch of spots filled because they're carrying over last year. So there will be some, you know, kind of like Berger missing the Masters this year. I mean, there's potential for some informed guys to miss this just due to spots filling up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it could be the Euro guys that catch the short end of that stick. As far as
I still can't believe Bob finished sixth last time this was played.
Oh, that was great.
That was unbelievable.
That was welcome to the world for him.
First time showing up that to come on that Sunday morning. That was
But like you said, I mean, because of that, I don't really have a lot of recommendations, honestly. Like, this is very much one of the few majors where, yeah, you and I don't bet much at all leading into this.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get deeper numbers at some of the top guys, but there's just other factors that could be into play. Again, like, a Reed is 40 here. Finau is 40 here.
I mean, that's the one, though. Like, if you're going to bet Tiger to win a major, he's 40-1. I think we had bet him last year to win this.
I think he was, like, 28, and it was, like, off of the President's Cup, where he looked electric, and it was like, this is the type of course that you need Tiger at, where you don't need the driver.
Yeah,
and you can make it happen elsewhere.
A lot of decisions need to be made. I mean, a lot of thinking on these links courses has to be made. And like I said, Darren Clark won this last time in 2011. Like,
yep.
And over time, I believe, I could be wrong, it's been a little bit since I looked at this, I'm pretty sure that, like, the Open has the highest average age as well for winning.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you get some outliers here for sure. So I guess that'd really be my only suggestion. If you're going to bet Tiger, this would be the one I would bet him at, and you can find him at 40-1.
Yeah. And this is like I absolutely love the Open from what it is. I mean, again, like, you get JT at 18. You know? Like, it's
tempting.
But he hasn't played very well. I mean, I can remember loading up in 2018 on JT and Bryson when they were, like, in peak form, and JT, you would get a deep number and you get, like, Bryson at like 50. And that's, this was the one where you see the video of Bryson on the range after round one, just pounding him, you know, just like that epic video of him. So, like, that's, again, you see numbers here. You just don't know. These guys aren't tested in this way ever.
And this is our big victory on the one future we do have, because Cam Smith is 66 right now.
Well, the other one that we have too, that is probably 80-1.
Scotty. I forgot.
Yeah, we have a Scotty 200.
Yes.
Like, oh, that one gets me going.
You just catch people sleeping.
So, I mean, those are the ones that I'm willing to bet on the talent that you know is going to get in when that number is double than what it should have. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and
that's that situation.
Yep. And we'll have a lot more to say about this particular major as we get closer to it. Like we said, we live for the European tour, and so we will definitely overdo it on those guys when this finally rolls around in 2021. Yep. So that ends the majors. We are about an hour deep. Should we do it for the people and answer those questions? Or do you want to do this? You want to end this pod here and do those in Discord for the subs, or maybe we'll fire off one more.
Let's plan on
fire off.
I think
one
a
more.
Lot of them are DFS related.
They
so
are.
Let's,
this
let's
is more betting.
Like do it Monday or Tuesday next week and answer them as we prepare for TOC.
Cool. New pod for or another pod for everybody that week. And then going forward as well, I need to mention this. Going forward, we're going to try to get all of our pods, whenever they happen, onto the FTN network of pods. So that's where you'll be hearing them. So you should probably go subscribe to that immediately. And then go subscribe to the FTN network YouTube page as well, because our goal in 2021, especially for Sky and I here, is to pump out a lot more audio/video content, and that's where you're going to find it. It will not be on this feed very often, if at all. Again, maybe one more, but we will be pushing it all to the FTN network on the YouTube and the audio podcast. So please go follow those, and if you're not a member yet, you can sign up at FTN Daily or FTN Bets. Use promo code AXIS, get 10% off, and you get access to all of our picks each week. We got the PGA Euro projections, LPGA projections, if they bring that back. Like, there's a ton going on that won't be in the pods. There will be some stuff, though, so please come join us. We look forward to it, and it was great talking to you, Sky, and we'll crack one of these off early next week.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, take it easy.